Now, you may be wondering, did you wander into the wrong session? Am I here to advertise Galaxy phones with Android on them? No. The reason I wanted you to see that, because I thought it was very funny. You have all those Apple folks in line waiting for their iPhones, and then these Android users come up, they tap their phones together, they share pictures, they share playlists and things like that. Isn't that cool? That is NFC. That's why I'm here this morning to talk about NFC, because while everyone knows that Android has great NFC support, a lot of folks don't know that Windows Phone 8 and WinRT in Windows 8 have great NFC support also. So we're going to talk about NFC and proximity networking in Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8. And my goal is to change your life just a little bit this morning. To introduce you to something that I think is ultra cool, I think is the future of networking in many ways. And if you're an app developer, you're building Windows Store apps or Windows Phone 8 apps, I hope to give you some ideas for features to build into those apps that will make them absolutely great and compelling to users. So with that, let me drop in a PowerPoint, and we will get started. By the way, I'm going to be doing lots of demos this morning, not just using virtual machines on one box, but using actual devices, a tablet that I have sitting over here, my Lumia 920 phone. So you'll actually get to see this stuff work. At least hopefully it'll work. Sometimes the demos just sort of randomly don't work, but usually if I reboot the device, they do work. But I have confidence it's going to work the first time this morning. Before we start talking about NFC, let me mention this. There's a fine team of folks back in Redmond, Washington, at Microsoft headquarters, who wrote the NFC support into WinRT. It's an API that's shared between Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8. They had hoped to send one of their program managers here. It turned out that she couldn't make it. But they wanted me to invite you to chat with them. Next week, they're doing a link chat for anyone that cares to chat with them. They would like to get feedback on their API. They would like to hear from you. If you have questions, you can ask them. It's not often that we get a chance to interact directly with the folks in Redmond who built the bits. So if that interests you, copy down this URL right here, and next week join in and tell the team what you think of their API. And with that, let's get going. So what is NFC? Near Field Communication, also known as proximity networking, is a new way of networking, of devices talking to each other. It's called proximity networking because it only works when the devices are in close proximity to one another. That is, when they're within a couple of centimeters. That's why in those Android commercials, they tap the phones together. Last night, I was out with some of the other speakers having some sushi. I took a picture of the group, and a lady sitting at the table said, would you mind sharing that picture with me? So I tapped my Lumia 920 to her Lumia phone. I believe it was a 920 also. And the picture shot across. A lot of folks don't know you can do all those same kinds of things with the Windows phone. What we're going to do in this session is learn how to build that kind of support into our own applications. Now, there are a couple of things that are interesting to know about NFC, and I'm going to be drilling down into this much more. But there are two big use case scenarios as far as a developer is concerned. One is you tap two NFC-equipped devices together so that while they're in close proximity to one another, they can send data back and forth. They're actually exchanging something called in-depth messages, which I'll define for you in just a moment. But you can imagine if you wanted to transfer something large, like a picture, you don't want to have to hold those two devices together for 30 seconds or more just for that big JPEG to transmit. So another thing that we can do with NFC is tap these two devices together, allow them, while they're together, to establish a socket connection over Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, or Wi-Fi Direct, so that we may then pull the devices apart and allow them to continue to communicate peer-to-peer. Now, if you were writing the code to do that down at the driver level, you can imagine there's a lot involved with it. The team that designed the NFC API into WinRT built something that makes that very, very easy for you and I to do as a developer. They've done a fine job, I believe, of abstracting it. And by the way, a lot of the stuff that I'm going to show you works not just with Windows 8 and with Windows Phone 8, but with other devices as well. If you carry a Windows Phone 8 device, You may know that you can transfer the photos you've taken over to most Android phones as well. Some of the things I'm going to show you are Windows specific, but many of the things will work with other types of devices as well. So this is something that you can use to be more collaborative with your friends who have not yet discovered the awesomeness of the Windows phone. Now, let's talk about use cases. Microsoft talks a lot about tap and do. For example, if I want to share a picture from my Windows phone with another Windows phone user or an Android user, I pull up the picture, pull up the sharing menu, and then I tap a command called tap and send. That is an instance of tap and do. In fact, when you think about NFC use cases and what tap and do really means, here are three big use cases. Number one, you walk into a train station or a bus terminal or an airport, and you see a poster there that has an NFC tag in it. You hold your phone or your tablet up to it. It detects that there's an NFC chip with information encoded on it nearby. It even notifies you of that, and it allows you to read that data off, so your phone can then display that data for you. It may take you to a website. It may show you other information. We're going to learn how to do that. In fact, I brought along with me a bunch of NFC smart tags. Now, what I'm holding here is an ordinary business card, but at Amazon.com, I bought a little pack of stickers called Samsung Tactiles. If you look closely, and maybe the camera can zoom in there for us, there's a little square sticker on the back of this business card, about 2 centimeters square. There's a tiny NFC chip inside it. We call that a smart tag or a passive NFC tag. It's passive because it's not powered. But when my phone or my tablet or other NFC-equipped device comes close to it, this borrows power from the device through an inductive charge, so my device can read data from it. So one very common use case for NFC is we encode information on these tags, we put them on posters and anything else we care to, and then we allow people with NFC-equipped devices like phones and tablets to read the data. Another big use case is we tap two devices together, as we've already discussed, and we either exchange data while they're together over NFC, or we simply use that NFC connection to establish a real network connection between them so that we can pull the devices apart and continue to communicate. The third big use case for NFC today is making electronic payments, something that's often referred to as card emulation mode. Now, the truth is there are very few places in the world that you can do this today. Among other things, it requires a different SIM card, a secure SIM card. But I believe that the future is we will use our phones and our tablets to perform a lot of our electronic commerce, to check in at the airport, to pay for a train ticket, and things like that. And that's one reason I wanted to do this talk, because by learning about this NFC API in WinRT, you'll be equipped to write apps that do those sorts of things. Now, before we start talking specifics of the API, let me tell you a little bit about NFC itself that will help you understand what you're going to see in these demos and in the slides that I present to you. There's an acronym you should know, NDEF, N-D-E-F. It stands for NFC Data Exchange Format. This is a standard data exchange format that allows NFC-equipped devices, for example, a phone or a tablet with an NFC chip inside, to shoot messages back and forth. This standard is driven by a consortium called the NFC Forum, which has more than 160 members, including a lot of big-name hardware vendors like Nokia and Samsung and others. If you look at their specifications, and you can go to the NFC Forum's website and read all the specs to see exactly what NDEF is, NDEF is a messaging format. It allows devices to exchange messages. A message is a container for one or more records. Now, the NFC Forum defines some standard records that any device can use, but companies like Microsoft and Google and others are free to define application-specific records as well. We're going to talk about those records as we go through these demos and how you can, for example, from a Windows device, write out a record that could be understood by, for example, an Android device. And I also want to mention, too, when I talk about an NFC device, it could mean one of two things. It could mean a phone or a tablet or some other powered device that has an NFC chip inside it. Or it could mean an NFC smart tag. Even though this little Samsung Tactile on the back of my business card is not a powered device, it is an NFC device. And because I've encoded an NFC message on it, that message can be transmitted to another NFC device when the two are brought into proximity, just as if this were a powered device. Now, for the first half of this presentation, we're going to focus on how we get powered devices to communicate with each other, how we could have our apps shoot pictures back and forth, or share the state of a game, or do something else. Then, in the second half of the presentation, we'll start talking about these smart tags. I'll show you how to use a Windows phone, for example, to write an in-depth message to a smart tag, and how to write code that runs on a Windows phone, a Windows tablet, or an Android device, if you prefer, that will read the data from that smart tag. As I said, WinRT contains an API, a brand new API. It's present in both Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8 that makes it extraordinarily easy to build NFC support into your apps. Now, there are two classes that play a large role in this API. One is the Proximity Device class. The other is the Peer Finder class. Both of these live in the windows.networking.proximity namespace. So we're going to look in detail at these two classes, but let me kind of orient you here at a high level. The Peer Finder class, rather the Proximity Device class, represents a proximity device, a device that has an NFC chip in it, like my phone. As you're going to see, that class fires a couple of events named Device Arrived and Device Departed that allows you to write code that detects when another NFC device, be it a smart tag or another active device, approaches you and enters your proximity. But more importantly, the Proximity Device class contains four methods, three of which allow us to send in-depth messages out to other devices or write them to smart tags, and one of which allows us to listen for NFC messages from other devices or from smart tags. So we'll do a lot of work with Proximity Device, but we'll also find that Peer Finder is going to be a very useful class as well. Now, Peer Finder actually plays multiple roles for us. It's a big part of the Bluetooth API in WinRT, but it also plays an important role in NFC. It turns out that if we want to connect two devices together via NFC, but then establish a network connection, a real network connection between them so that we can pull the devices apart and continue to shoot data back and forth, there's actually quite a lot involved in doing that down at the driver level, but this Peer Finder class makes that scenario extraordinarily easy to implement by providing a very high level of abstraction. So we'll use Proximity Device to send NFC messages and receive NFC messages. We'll even use it if we want to exchange short amounts of data while two devices are in proximity of each other. But then when we want to use NFC to establish that real network connection and exchange larger volumes of data, we'll turn to the Peer Finder class to help us do that. Those are the high level. That's the high level overview. Let's take a look at some of the details now. Number one, whether you're building a Windows 8 app or a Windows Phone 8 app, in Visual Studio, if the app is going to use this proximity API, you must indicate as much in the application manifest. Now, on the left, I've shown a screenshot from Visual Studio's manifest editor for a Windows Store project. On the right, I'm showing a screenshot from the manifest editor for a Windows Phone 8 project. They're very similar, but you need to check those boxes. If you fail to do it, your app will build just fine. But at runtime, the first time you call one of these proximity APIs, it will generate an access denied exception. So don't forget to check those boxes. I forget sometimes. Of course, I'm reminded quite harshly of that the moment I run the app and I see that big exception surface the first time I call one of the APIs. Now let's talk about the Proximity Device class. Remember, it represents devices that have proximity or NFC capability. It fires events that allow us to know when other devices approach us and leave. It also provides methods that allow us to send and receive in-depth messages. So the very first thing you need to do, if you're going to use this capability in your app, is find out, does the device I'm running on even have NFC support? And the easy way to find that out is to call proximitydevice.getDefault, as I'm doing here. If the return value is null, that tells you that there is no NFC chip in the device you're running on. At that point, you might warn the user or whatever you want to do. However, If it returns a non-null value, then that reference is a reference to a proximity device object, which represents the proximity capabilities of the device that you're running on. Now, once you have that proximity device object, there are a couple of interesting things you can do with it. One thing you can do is get more information about the device that's running your code. You can get the NFC device ID, for example. That's generally the ID of the NFC chip inside the device. You can also, through the bits per second property, find out what the maximum transfer rate of the NFC chip in this device is. Realize, by the way, NFC is a relatively low bandwidth protocol, so you can't transfer massive amounts of data quickly. In fact, the theoretical maximum transfer rate is about 400 kbps. In practice, it's actually substantially lower than that, which is why when we're going to use NFC to transmit large amounts of data, images, for example, rather than use NFC directly, we'll simply use it to establish a Wi-Fi or Bluetooth connection. There's another property you can get from proximity device named max message bytes. Every NFC chip has a maximum number of bytes that it can write out in one message. Typically, that's fairly large, like 10K or so, even 20K. So you typically don't have to worry about it. In fact, I dare say you'll never try to transmit something larger than that using a standard NFC message, because that might require the user to hold those devices together for 2 or 3 seconds. But you can get this information, and there are times when it's useful to know about. Now, here's more you can do with the proximity device class. You can register handlers for a pair of events that it fires named device arrived and device departed. Now, if I do this on my phone, and then I take another NFC-equipped device, whether it's a tablet or another phone or a business card with a smart tag on it, when I put it up to the NFC chip in my device, when I get very close, a centimeter or two, I'll see that device arrived event fire. That's a good opportunity. Now that I know that another NFC device is in my proximity, if I want to send it a message, well, I could take that opportunity to do it right now. When that device is pulled away, when it's no longer in proximity, the proximity device class fires an event named device departed. If you're sending that message and no one has received it, and you see the device departed event fire, you might take that opportunity to stop sending that message, to stop publishing it, so that you won't potentially consume the battery power on a mobile device unnecessarily. There are three methods in the proximity device class that allow us to send NFC messages to other devices. One of those methods is one named publish message. Now, realize that while NFC is platform and device neutral, this method right here is primarily intended to allow two Windows devices to communicate. Those two devices can be Windows 8 devices, Windows Phone 8 devices, or one Windows Phone 8 device and one Windows 8 device. Now, what it does under the hood, it actually publishes a standard in-depth message. But that message has a proprietary payload, in essence, that is generally only meaningful to another Windows device. So the purpose of this is to publish a message containing whatever data you want to other Windows devices via NFC. And here's how we use it. You call publish message on the proximity device object that you received when you called proximity device dot get default. Now, this doesn't just send that message out one time. You are literally publishing the message. And as long as you're publishing it, you can bring one NFC device after another in proximity, and all those devices will receive the message. In fact, that message will continue to be published and broadcast out to other NFC devices until you call a complementary method named stop publishing message. Now, when you call publish message, you can do so with just two parameters, like you see in the first line. The really important one there is the first one, which is the message type. For this API, the message type has to be Windows.something. It doesn't matter what the something is, but it has to be Windows.something. As you're going to see in a moment, if another device wants to receive this message, it will specify the same message type. The second parameter is the data. This API only accepts a string, so if you want to send binary data, you'll need to stringify it first. I am going to show you in a few moments another method in the proximity device class named publishBinaryMessage, which you can use if you want to publish binary data. You can optionally pass in the third parameter to this method a callback, which tells you when the message has been transmitted to a device. If you want, if you want to transmit that to one device and one device only, then when you get that on-message transmitted callback, you can call stop publishing message right then and there. Now, the other half of the equation, if we're going to have two devices talk to each other through NFC, is how we receive these NFC messages, which is why the Proximity Device class gives us a method named subscribe for message, which literally subscribes to receive messages being published by NFC devices. Doesn't have to be other Windows devices. If I subscribe to a message type that's encoded in a smart tag, well, if I touch this up to the device, I'll receive that message. So let me show you how this might be used. If I have one device that's called publish message to publish a message type named windows.sample, and I want to receive that message in another Windows NFC device, then I can call subscribe for message this way. Notice I've specified the same message type, and in the second parameter I specify the callback that I want the system to call if and when that message is received. When that callback comes, I can use the data as string property of the proximity message object passed to me in the parameter list to get the string that was published with published message from the other device. By the way, just as when you call published message, you will continue publishing that message ad infinitum until you call stop publishing message, when you call subscribe for message, you will continue subscribing for it until you call stop subscribing for message, which is why, in this case, once I've received the message, I'm assuming I'm no longer interested in receiving more messages of this type, at least for now, so I do call proximity device dot stop subscribing for message. How about a demo? So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to use my Windows phone and this Windows 8 tablet right here, both of which are equipped with NFC devices, and I'm going to transfer some data between the two. Now, in this case, what I'm going to transfer is the state of a game. So I'm going to start with this application on my Windows phone. By the way, all the sample code I'm going to show you, make it all available to you at the end of the session. I'll give you a SkyDrive URL, so if you want, you can download all these samples and try them for yourselves. And what I'm going to run on the phone is something called NFC Content Send Demo. It is a Windows Phone adaptation of the famous Game of Life, the one in which you populate a grid of cells with live cells, and then you use genetic algorithms to evolve those cells from one generation to the next. Now, what I'm going to do here is clear that off, and I'm going to draw something in here that may look mildly interesting. Actually, I'm not sure that's interesting, but we'll pretend that that's interesting. And for the moment, I'm going to set my phone to the side here. And I'm going to pull up my tablet here. Now, unfortunately, Microsoft Surface tablets don't have NFC chips in them, neither the Surface RTs nor the Pros. So let me turn this away just so I can log in here real quickly. But this tablet, which was the Samsung Build tablet given away a couple of years ago at the PDC, actually has a pretty good NFC chip inside it. Well, it just so happens, let's get over to the Windows Start screen, that I've built a version of this application for Windows 8. So I'm going to run it here, and I'll turn the tablet up like that to make it look more like a big phone, and you can see I've got the same thing going on here, where you can draw grids of cells, pull up an app bar, and run a simulation like that. Now let me clear that, because here's the reason that I'm bothering you with this. Let's turn this around here. I'm going to walk over and grab my phone. And on the phone, remember, I've come up with a pattern that I think is interesting. Actually, it looks like I'm going to have to draw it again because my phone timed out. So let's draw something that we might want to share with another user. And now, I like that so much that I want to share it with my friend who's running this app over on their Windows tablet. So I'm going to tap this button in the application bar that causes this app to call publish message. I'm going to tap it to the tablet, and I just transfer the state of that game over from one device to another. That is NFC messaging direct. I wasn't using a separate network connection. I was just using a simple in-def message transmitted from one device to another to share state. Okay? Thank you very much, and I'll be calling on you again in just a few moments. Now, let me show you a bit about how that worked. So let's pop over into Visual Studio here and take a quick look at the code. And NFC Content Sharing Demo is the Visual Studio solution that I was using there. If you look inside this solution, there are two projects. One Windows Store app project named NFC Content Receive Demo, and one Windows Phone 8 project named NFC Content Send Demo. Let's go into the phone app first, and I want to show you the code that executed when I clicked that share button in the application bar. That's right down here. There we are. I have already, when the application started up, called proximitydevice.getDefault, and if I got back a non-null return value indicating that there is NFC support on this device, I cached a reference to that in a private field named underscore device. So now, when the share button is tapped, I just check to make sure again that I do have NFC on this device. And then what I'm doing here is building a string. Remember, this publish message method only accepts a string. A string of ones and zeros representing the state of the cells in that grid showing on my phone. And then the key is, I call proximitydevice.publishMessage. I chose windows.life as my message type. Remember, with this API, it has to begin with Windows dot, but what comes after that is up to you. And I did ask for a message transmitted callback, because you can see that when this share button is tapped, I then disable it. Once I know the message is transmitted, however, I do a couple of things. One is I stop publishing that message. I want the user, if they want to share with a second device, to tap that button again. And I re-enable that share button in the application bar. Now, notice this right here, because this is really important. When you get a message transmitted callback from published message, or when you're called because you called subscribe for message to tell you that a message has arrived, those callbacks come on non-UI threads. They come on background threads. In Windows 8 and in Windows Phone 8, you can't touch the XAML UI. You can't touch the UI period from a background thread. Therefore, you must marshal back to the UI thread. The way you do that in a phone app is by calling dispatcher.beginInvoke. If it's a Windows Store app for Windows 8 instead, you call a similar method named dispatcher.runAsync. In other words, since I'm touching the UI here, re-enabling an application bar button, if I hadn't wrapped that in this call to dispatcher.beginInvoke, I would have seen a big exception thrown right there. So remember, these networking callbacks do not come on the application's UI thread. Now, that's one half of the equation. That's how I transmitted the data over from the Windows phone. But how did I receive that data on the tablet? Well, let's look at mainpage.xaml.cs in the receiving app. When it starts up, I call proximitydevice.getDefault, make sure that there is NFC support on this device, and if there is, then I subscribe for message, specifically for Windows.life messages. So essentially, the whole time that app is running on the tablet, I'm listening for anyone, any device to approach me offering a message of type Windows.life. I could have been a little smarter, actually. I could have waited until a device arrived event fired to then publish the message, but I chose not to do that, just primarily to show that if you want, you can start subscribing for a message the moment the application starts up. Now, if a device like my phone approaches me and has a Windows.life message to share, my on message received callback is called. Here, since this is called on a background thread, I marshal back to the UI thread because I am going to do some work with the UI. And right here is the key code where I use the data as string property of the proximity message to get that string of ones and zeros sent to me by the phone. And this is just kind of grungy code right here that decomposes that string of ones and zeros and reproduces the grid that was over on the phone. So bottom line, using a very simple proximity device API and two methods, publish message and subscribe for message, and writing literally just a few lines of code, I was able to transfer the state of an app from one device to another. That's one use for NFC. Now, what about transferring larger objects like photos or things like that? Or what if you wanted to build a chat application so the two Windows devices, or even non-Windows devices for that matter, could connect to each other and share text back and forth, or share images back and forth, or share anything back and forth? How would you go about doing that? Well, instead of sending an NFC message when the device has come in proximity, what you would do is simply use NFC to establish a real, living, breathing network connection between the two devices, which is why WinRT gives you a class named PeerFinder. PeerFinder abstracts that scenario and makes it very easy to connect two devices together by tapping them, establishing a socket connection between them so that you can pull them apart. And yes, this would work between Windows and non-Windows devices as well. To use this API, the first thing you do is make sure that the device that you're running on does support this tap to connect or tap to establish a network connection scenario. And the way you do that is by checking the supported discovery types property of the PeerFinder class, checking for a bit flag named peerDiscoveryTypes.triggers. If that bit flag is present, that means that this device does support tap to connect. Once you've established that, creating a connection with another device by tapping the two together is very simple. You begin by registering a handler for a PeerFinder event named Triggered Connection State Changed. Then you call PeerFinder.start so that it basically starts advertising to any devices that enter its proximity that it's willing to tap to establish a network connection. When the Triggered Connection State Changed event fires, and it will actually fire several times as the devices approach each other, once the network connection is established, you'll see a value passed in called TriggeredConnectState.completed. That tells you that the two devices have shaken hands over NFC and have now established a socket connection, a TCP socket connection, duplex socket, which you can get a reference to from the socket property of the event args that's passed in. At this point, those devices can be pulled apart. They can continue to communicate. That connection, by the way, the underlying network connection, will be either Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, or Wi-Fi Direct. Not many devices support Wi-Fi Direct yet, but I suspect many more will in the future. If you've never heard of Wi-Fi Direct, devices that are equipped with Wi-Fi Direct chips can communicate with each other over Wi-Fi without a router in between them. But I want to show you this in action in a moment, but I want to show you a few more details first. Number one, I told you that as these devices are brought together, that Triggered Connection State event will fire several times. Here's what's actually going on. When the devices are pretty close to each other and they've acknowledged each other, you'll get this event firing and you'll be told that a peer has been found. At this point, it's actually safe to remove the devices, to move them apart, because they've already exchanged enough information that they know how to establish a socket connection with each other. It is the completed indication that we normally care about, because that's the one in which we can pull a stream socket reference out of the socket property of the event args that's passed in. Now, as I said, the underlying network connection can be Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, or Wi-Fi Direct. By the way, Wi-Fi Direct is supported on Windows 8, but it is not supported in Windows Phone 8. That may change in the future. I suspect it will. By default, Windows will attempt to establish a network connection using any of these. But if you care, if you only want a Bluetooth connection, not Wi-Fi, for example, or the other way around, you can use these allow properties of the PeerFinder class. If I, for example, set allow Bluetooth to false before I called PeerFinder.start, then Windows would not even attempt to establish a Bluetooth connection. It would go straight to Wi-Fi and Wi-Fi Direct. Interesting little tidbit for you, by the way. Which does Windows prefer? Since all of these property values default to true, which one will Windows use when two devices come together? What Windows does is it tries all three. And the first one that comes back with a working connection, that's the one Windows gives you. Most of the time, it's probably Bluetooth, but you have no guarantee of that, and there's not even an API after the connection is established to find out whether you're working over Bluetooth, Wi-Fi Direct, or what have you. And you probably don't care, because all you're doing is writing socket code at this point to shoot data back and forth between the devices. Now, before I show you a demo, there's one more thing I need to prepare you for. What I've shown you so far works great between two Windows Phone 8 devices or between two Windows 8 devices. But if you want to connect a Windows Phone 8 device to a Windows 8 device or perhaps to an Android device, then there's an additional line or two of code that you have to write. Generally speaking, this API has been designed to connect together two identical apps running on two different devices. However, you can't have an identical app on, say, a Windows Phone device and a Windows 8 device. They can be compatible apps, but they can't be the exact same app. So what you do is, if you want to be able to connect to equivalent apps running on other platforms, is you use something called alternate identities. So as an example, let's say that I'm a Windows Phone app. I'm going to use this Peer Finder class to try to create a network connection using an NFC tap to connect with another device, but I want that device to be a Windows 8 device or a Windows Phone 8 device. What I have to do is get the package family name of that Windows application. If you wrote the app, you can get it right out of the manifest in Visual Studio, and provide it to this alternate identities dictionary in the code running on my phone. On the other hand, if I were a Windows 8 app and I want to be able to connect not only to the same app running on other Windows 8 devices or to an equivalent app running on Windows Phone devices, then I need to get the app ID of that phone app, which again I can get out of the manifest in Visual Studio if I'm the one that wrote that phone app, and I need to provide that to the alternate identities dictionary of the Peer Finder class. And with that, we're going to see if this actually works. You never know, right? So, I actually need some help from the audience. I need a second set of hands, and my friend Peter, I think, is going to come up and help me. Is that correct? All right. So, Peter, let's see here. First off, thanks for agreeing to help out.
Thank you.
And what I want to do is get logged into this tablet. I'm going to hand you the tablet, okay? Once I get logged in again, I let it go to sleep to save battery power. Okay, we're going to close down that app, and I'm going to run another app on here called Windows Scribble. Okay, and I want you to, if you would, Peter, just hold that up so everyone can see it. You can see that there's a little white rectangle on the screen that says Tap to Connect. Now, I have a similar app on my phone, so I'm going to run it as well. On here, I call it Phone Scribble. And when it comes up, it also shows me a white rectangle that says Tap to Connect. These two devices are listening for each other, or listening for any device to come within their proximity so that we can tap them together and establish a network connection. So what I'm going to do at this point is hold this up, and I've got to be careful to get it right up against the NFC chip on the back. And you can see that the text on the tablet changed to peer found. That indicated I had a triggered connection state changed event fire. At that point, we can pull the devices apart, and now that the text has gone away, that indicates to me we have a network connection. So what I'm going to do, Peter, is walk over here, and if you would stay with the tablet there and let the audience see the tablet, Peter and I are going to talk to each other. We're probably talking over Bluetooth, but you never know. Okay, so if you will put the camera on the tablet, I'm going to write Peter a message. And did it show up? Yes. And Peter, if you want, you can respond to me. So just use your finger and write something back. No dirty pictures now. Okay. And it's a little hard for you to see, but I'll walk over here. And you can see that on my phone, Peter's reply showed up there as well. All right. I can breathe a sigh of relief now. Sometimes this demo doesn't work the first time. Let's have a hand for Peter here. He did an awesome job. Thank you so much. All right. And thank you as well. So do you like that? Is that cool? Let me put this back to sleep in case I want to use it again. So there, we connected a Windows Phone 8 device to a Windows 8 device. We used NFC and Tap to Connect to establish probably a Bluetooth connection between the two. And then all I was doing after that, I wrote sockets code that took those XY coordinate pairs defining the strokes that the user drew. I was shooting them through the socket and using them to replicate on the other device what had been drawn on the original device. And because it was a real network connection, obviously it didn't matter that we were 100 feet apart. We no longer had to have the devices in proximity of one another. By the way, you can use that to connect Windows devices to non-Windows devices. That's a little secret, but I wanted to tell you that. Let's look at some code, because at the end of the day, it's all about the code, is it not? I'm going to open a separate project here. And again, I'll make these samples available to you. This one was called NFC Scribble Demo. And once more, it has two projects inside it, one Windows Phone project, one Windows Store project. And the cool thing is, since this API is part of WinRT, and specifically it's part of the portion of WinRT or the subset of WinRT that was ported from Windows 8 to Windows Phone, the code in both of these is identical. So let me show you what it looks like in the phone, and I'm using the exact same code over on this slate. So when this app starts up, or when this, when the first page, and first and only page in this case is shown, I first check to make sure this device supports NFC Tap to Connect. If I find that it does, then I add an entry to PeerFinder's Alternate Identities Dictionary so that in this case, and I'm looking here at the code that's running on the tablet, not the phone, I want to be able to connect not only to this app running on other tablets, but to the equivalent app running on a Windows phone. So I add that entry to the Alternate Identities property. I then wire up a handler for that triggered connection state changed event that will tell me when a connection has been established or is being established with another device, and I call start to start advertising my device's availability. When this event fires right here, trigger connection state changed, you momentarily saw the text on the tablet Peter was holding change from tap to connect to peer found. You can see that happening here. Remember again, this is always called on a background thread, so I must marshal back to the UI thread to update any UI. But then, most importantly, when this event fired and told me that the connection had been completed, I called this to stop advertising for other devices. And from the socket property of the event args that was passed in, retrieved the socket connection, a stream socket reference. Everything else in this app is just socket stuff, shooting data back and forth as the user draws lines on those screens. So the NFC part of it, 10 or 20 lines of code. Pretty amazing, huh? Do you like what you've seen so far? Well, just wait. I've got some even better stuff. How about that? So up to now, we've focused on device-to-device communications. I want to change gears just a bit and talk about these little NFC smart tags. Suppose you want to do as I do, and you want to encode information about yourself, including your company's URL, for example, on a smart tag and paste it on the back of your business card. This way, you know, if you're looking for work and you hand this to a potential employer, they don't have to go type a URL into their website. They could just hold this up to their phone, their tablet, or whatever, and automatically see your website with your resume and things like that. Suppose you want to know more about these tags. How do you write these tags, and how do you read them? Well, this API gives us support for that as well. And it comes primarily in the form of a proximity device method named publish binary message. Now remember, the publish message method is primarily for Windows to Windows device communications. Publish binary message is not. You can publish any in-depth message with this. Despite that fact, this is rarely ever used to do direct communications between two powered devices. One of the primary use cases for this method is this is how we can use our Windows phone or our Windows tablet to write in-depth messages to NFC smart tags. Let me show you an example or two. Suppose you wanted to encode on one of these smart tags a URI. Maybe it's a URI of your website, your company website, or your personal website for the back of your business card. Well, the URI NFC record type is a standard record type that any device will recognize. So if I can figure out a way to write a standard in-depth URI record to that tag, it is going to work with any device that's NFC equipped. This is how on a Windows 8 device or a Windows phone I could write a URI to the tag. Notice how simple it is. I'm using publish binary message called on a proximity device instance. The string I pass in the first parameter is very important. It has to be exactly as I've shown it here. And this will write the URL, in this case, www.winelect.com, to this NFC tag. Now, let me show you this real quickly, just to prove this works. I'll do a quick demo here. So on this business card, I have written my company's URL to an NFC tag. And what I'm going to do here And notice I haven't had to do anything special on my phone to do this. All Windows phones, when they see a proximity device enter their vicinity that has an in-depth URI record on it, automatically launches the application that handles the protocol in that URI. Since it's an HTTP URI that I've encoded on here, it will be Internet Explorer that launches. So I'll hold it up, get a message from the phone saying, do I want to receive that content? And now IE will open up and take me to the URL that was encoded on this tag. Thank you. So this is the code that I used to write that tag, right there. Very clean, very simple. But that's not the only reason that you may find this published binary message method useful. Another reason is you can write more than URIs to these smart tags. You can write launch tags that cause specific applications to be launched on a Windows phone or on a Windows 8 device. Now, this API I'm about to show you is specifically for Windows devices, but in a few moments, I'm going to show you how to write out a launch tag that would launch an app on an Android device as well. It turns out that the NFC forum has not given us a standard launch tag that can be used by any platform. So vendors like Google and Microsoft define their own. Google has something they call an Android application record, which is an NFC tag format they've defined that will launch an app. Microsoft has defined their own format for these launch tags. So here's how I would write something to one of these tags that launches a Windows app. Number one, you can see I'm calling publish binary message. And again, the string passed in the first parameter is very important. Launch app colon write tag tells Windows to write a Windows launch tag out to an NFC device. Now, you could use this to publish a message to a powered device, but generally, this example specifically writes it to an NFC tag only because of that write tag that I have after the colon. But the key is what I'm putting in the tag. The string Windows says this tag should launch apps on Windows devices. What's after the string Windows is the package family name of the application. What I did here, I went out and looked on my tablet, got the package family name of Angry Bird Space, and put that app ID in here. The first parameter, the argument that you see in italics, is interesting too. Not only can you use these launch tags on NFC smart tags to launch applications, you can pass parameters into those applications when they start up that can be consumed. That argument can be any string you want. It could be a zip code. It could be anything else. And I'll show you in just a moment how you would consume that in a Windows 8 app. Realize that if you want to write to an NFC smart tag a record that will launch a Windows phone app, the syntax for the tag is slightly different. You use the string Windows Phone as the platform identifier, and Windows Phone app IDs are formatted slightly differently, so I've put in the app ID of one of the Angry Birds games available for Windows Phone. Here's a neat little trick you can pull. This is not incredibly well documented, but you can write a message to an NFC tag that will launch either a Windows Phone app or a Windows 8 app by using what I call a dual launch tag. You see, I still get a chance to specify an argument that the app can consume once it's launched, but I provide data inside the tag indicating that this can launch a Windows app or a Windows Phone app, and I provide the app IDs of the two respective applications. Now, before I do the next demo, let me show you this. You'll need to know, if you're going to be launched from an NFC tag like this, how to consume the argument that was encoded on the tag as well. The way you generally do it in a Windows 8 app is by doing this. In the onNavigatedTo method of your application's default page, you simply look at the parameter property of the event args that's come in. There is already code in app.xaml.cs, which Visual Studio placed there, that will take any launch arguments and pass them over to the page. If the launch came from an NFC tag and that tag included an argument, then e.parameter will have that argument's value. By the way, we often do this sort of thing in mainpage.xaml, for instance, when we support secondary tiles in our Windows 8 app and we want to support launching with arguments from the secondary tiles. I love how they've architected this part of the API, because if you already have secondary tile support in your Windows 8 app, you write zero lines of code to launch from NFC and consume NFC launch parameters, because you get launched either way, and in both cases, the parameter encoded in a secondary tile or in an NFC tag simply comes through to you as e.parameter. Now, it's slightly different on a Windows phone. On a Windows phone, we typically consume an input parameter using navigation context.query string. So what the phone OS does is, when it sees a launch occur from an NFC tag, if there's an argument encoded in that tag, it presents the argument to you as a specially named query string parameter. The name of that parameter is this funny looking string you see at the top, the MS underscore NFP underscore launch args. But now you can pull that parameter and its value out just as you could any other parameter that you would that's passed to a page in a phone app. One final thing before I show you the demo. Here's a neat little trick that can be quite useful. These NFC tags come in a lot of varieties, different manufacturers, different capabilities. These Samsung tech tiles will hold about 1K or so of data. They're rewritable. Samsung claims they can be written at least 100,000 times. But there are other less expensive tags that can only hold sometimes 70, 80, 100 bytes of data that can't be rewritten as often, etc. It might be useful, before you execute code, to write something to one of these smart tags to know, what is the capacity of the tag? What's the maximum amount of data that I can write to it? This is how you get that. It's not very obvious, but it does work, and it works very well. You call subscribe for message and specifically scribe to in-def messages of type writable tag. Now, when a writable tag approaches your device, then you'll get this callback, the on-receive callback in this case. And through the data property of the proximity message, you can find out in bytes exactly what the capacity of the tag is. By the way, there's no API for finding out, for example, how many bytes are remaining, because when you write something to an NFC tag using these APIs, it necessarily overwrites what's already there. So you can write new data to a tag. You cannot append data, although you could do that by first reading the contents of the tag, then appending the data you want and writing the aggregate out to the device. So let's see if it works here. And I could use my phone or the tablet to do this. Since the phone is easier to get to, I'm going to do this. So I have a business card here that has an NFC smart tag, a Samsung tech tile, to which I've written a dual launch tag. It can launch a Windows 8 app or a Windows Phone 8 app. And I've already installed the Windows Phone app that this thing is capable of launching on here. By the way, it's kind of interesting. What's the user experience going to be like if they try to launch an app from a tag on a device on which that app is not already installed? Well, it's pretty clever. Windows Phone takes them to the App Store to find that app so that they can download it and install it. Now, this app is a weather app. It allows me to input a U.S. zip code, and it shows me what city and state correspond to that zip code and what the current temperature is in degrees Fahrenheit. I've also encoded as an argument the zip code. So if this thing works, it will not only launch the app, but it will show what the current temperature in degrees Fahrenheit is in my hometown back in Tennessee. So here we go. I'll take this. I'll hold it up to the phone. And the phone says, do you want to open an app? Somebody tells me to open an app. Here's the app opening up. The remote server returned an error. It appears I've lost my network connection. So let's try this real quickly. Back to Wi-Fi. And am I connected? Somehow I got booted off. So, okay, it tells me connecting. Let's see if it actually will connect. Tells me connected, so let's do this. Let's try this one more time. I'll take the smart tag, hold it up. I'll allow Windows to launch the app. And it tells me it's currently pretty cold back in my hometown of Concord, Tennessee. Thank you so much. Now, because this is a dual launch tag, and because I have a similar app that I wrote installed on the tablet, I could have demoed it there as well. And I'll show you in a moment how to do the same thing to launch an Android app. Do you like that? Is that cool? Being able to write launch tags to these NFC smart tags? So you see a lot of NFC demos where There's nothing more than a URI encoded in the message on that tag, but realize there's a whole lot more. In fact, there's something called a smart poster, which is something that is very that is standard. It has been rigorously defined as an in-depth message by the NFC forum. The idea behind a smart poster is this is the type of NFC tag you might attach to, you know, a poster in a train station or something, which not only provides a URL, but perhaps additional information about train schedules, train delays, and things like that. But let's go back over here for just a moment. One of the things that's interesting about this WinRT API is it makes it really easy to implement the most common use cases in NFC, like getting two devices together, shooting short amounts of data back and forth, or putting the two devices together to establish a network connection, pull them apart to continue to communicate. It even makes it very, very easy to write data out to these NFC smart tags. But it does not attempt to cover every in-depth message type that is defined by the NFC forum, or for that matter, by other vendors like Google. If you want to be more generic, if you want to be able to process any in-depth message coming from anywhere and understand what it is, then you'll need help from a third party. And the third party that I would recommend is this free open source library called In-Depth Library for Proximity APIs. You can install it into your Visual Studio project directly through NuGet. And basically what it does is it provides a library of strongly typed classes that map to not only standard in-depth message types, but some common application-specific in-depth message types like Android launch tags. So remember, the smart poster tag is something that is defined by the NFC as a standard in-depth message. Smart poster typically contains a URL, usually contains one or more lines of text, and it can optionally contain other data as well. If I wanted to write one of those to an NFC tag, which I've actually done on this business card right here, then there is no API in WinRT that will let me do that directly. But this in-depth library for proximity APIs do. This is how I would write a smart poster out to an NFC tag using the library. And notice the first line where I knew up an in-depth SP record. That's part of this library. The SP stands for smart poster. There are other C-sharp classes that I can use representing other in-depth message types as well. So this takes what could have been a lot of code if I were having to format the raw payload of this message and makes it very, very easy to write that tag out. By the way, if I wanted to build an app that recognized that when my phone, say, was held up to an NFC tag containing a smart poster, then here's how I would do that. I would use our friend Subscribe for Message. But remember I said earlier, Subscribe for Message is not Windows specific. If you want to process or be notified of any in-depth message from any in-depth device that enters your proximity, then you call Subscribe for Message this way. You pass in the string in-depth in the first parameter, and now you'll be notified of any and every in-depth message that is made available to you. Now, to make sense of what comes in there, you'll probably need some help. So once more, the in-depth library for proximity APIs can help. In this case, when I get the message, I'm saying, okay, does this message contain a smart poster tag? And if so, then I'll use properties of the in-depth SP record type in the proximity library to pull out the individual components of that smart poster and make sense of them. And here is how you write out an Android launch tag. Again, the WinRT API makes it easy for us to write out Windows and Windows Phone launch tags. Perhaps understandably, it doesn't give us an easy way to write out an Android launch tag. But inside this in-depth library for proximity APIs, there is a class named in-depth Android app record. I can use this here to write an in-depth tag to one of these tactiles or other NFC smart tags that will, in this case, launch Adobe Reader on an Android device. So let's see here. We're doing well on time, so let's pause and do a quick demo. I'm going to use my phone again. And I'm going to take this smart poster tag that I have here, and I'm going to override it with another, and I'm going to ask for a little bit of input from the audience. And then we're going to see what happens when we hold this up to a Windows Phone device or maybe a Windows 8 device. Let me put this here so that it doesn't get in proximity. And what I'm going to do is run an app. that lets me write out smart poster tags from a Windows phone. It's called Smart Poster Demo. And one of the things it wants to know is, okay, do you want to insert a text record in here? Let's say yes. What I'm going to do is type in the word sample. This will be encoded in the tag we're about to write out. And then I'm going to enter a URL, because most smart poster messages contain URLs. And this is where I'd like some help from you. Let me go ahead and type in the HTTP colon whack whack. And somebody tell me what URL do you want me to encode in this? Maybe your personal blog, your company or something. Something short, if possible. Will someone shout out a URL? What's that? How do you spell it? Oh, atos.net, A-T-O-S.net. I love it. It's short. Do I need the www in the front? Okay. Let's add it in. www.atos.net. And did I spell that right, sir? Okay, very good. Now, notice I've got a write to tag button. I'll press that. I've now called publish binary message to write a smart poster tag with the help of the in-depth library for proximity APIs. I'm going to take this writable Samsung Tactile and put it up here. I took the on message transmitted callback. It tells me the tag was written. So in theory, at least, this Samsung Tactile now contains a smart poster record containing the URL you showed me. Now, one way to test that is this. On a Windows phone, it's a little different on a Windows 8 device. On a Windows phone, when you approach it with a tag containing a smart poster, it doesn't show you everything in the smart poster tag, but it does extract the URL from it, launches IE to show you that. So if that worked, when I do this, we should see the Atos website. It's trying, just taking a moment there. And I see just for me, you defaulted to English because you know I don't speak anything else. Thank you. It's almost there. And is that the site? Excellent. Okay, thank you. And thank you as well. Now, that is a smart poster. Different devices react in different ways. Most devices will react to a smart poster as a Windows phone does, simply by extracting the URL from the smart poster tag and taking you to that URL in the browser. But realize, you could write an app that was smarter, since smart poster tags can contain other things like multiple lines of text. You could write an app that goes in and shows all of that to the user. By the way, it's a little bit different on a Windows 8 device. If I were to hold this up to my tablet right now, nothing would happen. Windows 8 will automatically launch an app if it sees a URI tag approach it, but it will not automatically, if it sees a smart poster tag approach, read it, extract the URI from it, and launch that URI in IE. May change in a future version, you never know. Now, one last thing here. I told you up front that there are three methods in the proximity device class that you can use to send or publish messages to other NFC devices. You've seen two of them so far. You've seen publish message, which is specifically intended to let me write messages to other Windows NFC devices in my proximity. And you've seen publish binary message, which is generically used to write binary data out to another NFC device, but is far more commonly used to write in-depth messages to smart tags like the ones that I've been showing you. The third method in the proximity device class that you can call is one named publish URI message. And I say this until last because I'm not sure that you'll ever need to use this. The use cases for it are fairly minimal, but I want you to be aware of it, if for no other reason than to have a complete education in this API. Publish URI message writes out an in-depth message or that containing a URI to another NFC device. It cannot be used to write to NFC tags. Only publish binary message can be used to do that. So the one use case for this is maybe on your phone, you want to punch a button and you want to hold the phone up to another device and launch something on the other device. But it is kind of cool because you're not limited to just launching URLs in IE. If you use this publish URI message method and you do publish a URI message, that uses the HTTP protocol, then indeed if I hold this up to another device, it will take that URI and launch it in its browser. That'll work just as well on an Android device, by the way, as it will on a Windows device. Did I mention that there is no support for NFC over in Apple land right now? Did I mention that? I actually thought about putting a slide in here titled NFC support in iOS and then having everything under it blank. But I thought, no, I shouldn't poke fun at Apple when they're not here to defend themselves, right? But here's the cool thing. Most platforms these days, including Windows Phone 8 and Windows 8, allow you to associate apps with protocols. So, for example, in every Windows Phone and Windows 8 device, by default, it is IE that handles the HTTP protocol. But there are a lot of other apps built into a Windows 8 device and a Windows Phone device, including apps you can download from the stores like Skype, that register themselves as protocol handlers and can be launched programmatically using this publish URI message. For example, if you've downloaded and installed Skype on your Windows or Windows Phone device, it automatically registers itself to handle URIs beginning with the protocol Skype colon. In fact, the two forward slashes are actually optional. You can see I didn't put them in here. So I could use this right here to use NFC to launch Skype on another device. And to the extent I can discover the other protocols that already have handlers registered for them on other devices, I can launch any app I want as long as it is a protocol handler. Now, there are a bunch of them on the Windows platform. They're not incredibly well documented, but if you dig deeply enough, you can find them. But I am going to show you one final demo in which we're going to launch different apps on my Samsung Slate over here from the Windows Phone by writing out URI messages through NFC. I do want to show you this, though, before I do this demo. That subscribe for message method, if you call it and pass in the string Windows URI, you're actually subscribing for URI messages. So your app can be notified when another NFC device approaches yours and offers a URI message. That could be another powered device, or it could be an NFC tag containing a URI or even a smart poster. You may never need to do this here, because all of these mobile operating systems handle this case for you by default. But if for some reason you wanted to handle these URI messages yourself in your app, you are free to do that. Realize, however, that in Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8, you are not given a way to disable the operating system's default handling of a URI message, which is to pop up a message box saying, do you want to open this content or do you want to launch this app or something like that. You can subscribe to the message and handle it yourself, but you can't prevent the operating system from doing the same thing. So we're going to do one last demo. And Peter, if I may impose on you, could I borrow your extra set of hands again, if you don't mind? Let me log in once more. I was shutting it down just to make sure that I didn't run out of battery power. Okay. And you can just kind of hold that up there if you want. And if you would, hold it on top and bottom, because the NFC chip in this tablet is here, and I'm going to have to be able to get to that. Or like this. You can hold it horizontal, but just kind of put your hands on top and bottom. Okay. There you go. Perfect. Now, on the phone, I'm going to launch an app that allows me to write out URI messages of different types using publish URI message. So let's go over and find that. NFC URI message demo. And you'll see some buttons on there. So we're launching Internet Explorer, launching Skype, launching Mail, launching Windows Store, launch Bing Maps. Let's try something here. Let's see if I can launch Skype and initiate a Skype call to my wife, who I'm sure would be glad to hear from me now. So I'll type that button. Then I'll hold this up to the slate. And Windows 8 says, do you want to receive this content? I'll say yes. And we should see Skype coming up here in just a moment. There is Skype. How about that? And it says, oops, there was a problem. Obviously, Skype's fault and not ours. Let's try one other one. What about launching the Windows Store? So I press the button labeled Launch Windows Store. I'm writing out a Windows Store URI here. This should take us to the Windows Store. Let's see if that's the case. Your app is not connected, so I've lost my connection. That was probably the problem that Skype was having. So again, not a very common use case, but I did want you to know about the publish URI message method, because you can use it using protocols to launch apps on other devices, and again, they don't have to be Windows devices either. Peter, thank you again. I couldn't have done it without you. Folks, we are out of time. which is good because I'm out of content here. I hope that this has been interesting for you. I hope you now have some ideas for cool things to do in your apps that you didn't have before. Please go out and do some great things with NFC. And the last thing I'm going to do is I'm going to put a URL up on the screen so that you can download these code samples if you care to do so. And thank you very much, by the way.